Super Bowl. Here we go.
Cheers, Steelers. Black and the gold.
Welcome, everyone. Episode 6, Terrible Towel Talk, the Super Bowl podcast. I am your host, Adam. This is the podcast for you, the Steeler Nation. I am here, as always, with my co-host and resident football expert, Neil, from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, fresh off his appearance on ESPN Radio AM 1040 in Tampa, Florida, where he talked about the Steelers and about Behind the Steel Curtain, and we are super excited to be talking to you on the eve of Super Bowl 45, Steelers-Packers. We are going back our eighth Super Bowl appearance, looking for our seventh title. Absolutely overcome with emotion after the Jets win, and it's taken me several days to recover. This is Sunday, January 30th, 1 week away from Super Bowl 45 in Dallas, and we're just going to talk some Steeler football for you here. Neil, why don't you give us a quick rundown of the Jets game? I think everybody listening knows what happened, but let's just gloss over some of the more important details for a moment, and we'll move on to some what's been happening in the week, kind of current events kind of stuff. So, Neil, take it away. Tell us about the Steelers and the Jets.
I think the important detail to remember after the Steelers' victory over the Jets in the AFC Championship game was probably a three-second video clip that's going to live in the hearts and minds of Steelers fans forever.
I think I know which one you mean.
After Roethlisberger completes a pass for a first down on third and six to Antonio Brown, Rex Ryan is shown on the sidelines kind of pacing for a second, and the volcano just erupts. Launches his headset onto the ground about as hard as he possibly could, utters a few expletives, and then just kind of keeps walking. And that was pretty much it. I mean, that summarized the entire second half. Probably would have been a lot worse in the first half. The Steelers came out firing offensively. They ran the ball straight at the Jets, and it looked to a point like the Jets defenders were on ice skates, and the Steelers just locked down, drove them back 4 or 5 yards on every single play, and basically ran Mendenhall the entire way. Roethlisberger had a nice third down run on third and 12 for a first down in that drive as well. But that really set the tone. And from there, you get a big defensive play with Ike Taylor sack and Mark Sanchez, William Gay picking up the fumble and running it back for a touchdown to go up 24-0 at that point. That was, you know, pretty much all she wrote. Pittsburgh's offense kind of went into, I wouldn't say, you know, a conservative standpoint. The Jets came to play after that. That's when the game really started. But I think the Jets came out flat mostly because, as you and I talked about before, Adam, they were flat because they played their Super Bowl the week before. They put everything they had into beating the Patriots. And the best part of it is the Steelers came out butt all over the field after playing their arch rival. So the Jets really have nothing to talk about. The majority of that is on them. They weren't prepared nearly as well for Pittsburgh as they were for New England. And in the end, even with the big comeback, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I agree. I do give all credit to the Jets. They played an excellent second half. But unfortunately, you know, you've got to play two halves of good football. And I've never seen a team so flat as the New York Jets in the first half of that game. And you're right, we jumped all over them. And they just didn't have enough to come back from a four-score deficit, as, you know, would be nearly impossible for anybody to do. So, yeah, they spent all their ammunition on the Patriots, and I thought it was interesting. That's all they seemed to talk about in the week between the Patriots game and the Steelers game. The Jets seemed to only talk about how they went into New England and beat up on New England. They didn't seem to focus much on the Steelers. They were uncharacteristically quiet in the media, and it certainly showed in the result. So
Steel City Insider publisher Jim Wexel had a really good point leading up to the game, and that was to be wary of the teams that are acting out of character before a game. The Jets were surprisingly quiet all week. You know, I think a lot of it is natural. I think they really felt good about themselves, and like what you said too, I think they played a great second half. That's a very good football team, and these are probably two that'll play again next season if there is a next season.
Yeah, I agree. If and when next season happens, certainly the Jets will have a little bit more a sense of urgency if they play us in the playoffs, and hopefully they will, because it seems like it's a good matchup, and I look forward to good games in the future. But luckily enough, we don't have to look at the New York Jets anymore. It's time to focus on the Green Bay Packers, who had an incredible season, absolutely marred with injuries. Something like 15 guys went on the injured reserve for Green Bay over the course of the year, and they've managed a Super Bowl appearance. Their first since, what, 97?
96, I believe it was.
96.
No, it was 97. You're right. They went back-to-back.
I know they... Yes, they did. That's right. But nobody on that Green Bay team is on this current this current Super Bowl roster. Our roster stocked with guys who've been to the Super Bowl before. We certainly have the edge experience-wise, and I think as a franchise, that's certainly shown itself in the last week. We had the growing debacle with the Packers team photo. Tell us a little bit about that. It seems to me like they kind of slapped a few of their guys directly in the face by not letting them be in their Super Bowl photo.
I think what it came down to were two of those 16 players that were put on injured reserve this year, deeply active on Twitter, Jermichael Finley and Nick Barnett, or Nick Collins or Barnett. I forget which one it is. The linebacker. Between the two of them, they were, a little bit put off with the fact that the Packers had scheduled their Super Bowl team photo for that week in Green Bay, which is, to be honest, to them, pretty much par for the course. Every Super Bowl team does that. The Steelers took theirs, I believe, on the same day. They didn't like the fact that they weren't going to be included in the photo, and I guess it's understandable why they would feel that way. But instead of calling the coach or the general manager or, anybody else, they decided to air their grievances on Twitter where the rest of the world could see them and then, make it a story for the next 5-6 days. And that's something I think that at the risk of being dramatic about it, it really does show their lack of experience. You can't bring up anything the week before a Super Bowl that you don't want everybody to obsessively talk about. That's the way it is. It coming to a head now, they very easily rescheduled the photo shoot. All the players in injured reserve are going to be there for it. But Lamar Woodley tweeted this morning when I was looking at it that essentially you will never see the Steelers doing anything like that. I think that really shows the difference in experience between these two teams. Maybe it isn't a big deal, but the fact of the matter is everybody on the team is going to be talking about it. And when you've got, 100-plus guys, 53 in their active roster, and guys on practice squad, guys not activated, all of those guys are talking, and that's the subject that they're going to bring up, and that's going to create something of a division in the locker room. It's an issue they just absolutely should not be dealing with, and that's why you don't bring stuff like that up. And then that's why, to be honest, the Steelers are looking to win their third Super Bowl in 6 years. They don't do things like that because they don't need to. Their players are mature, they're professionals, and they get why you don't do that. They don't have the me complex the way that Jermichael does. You don't need to talk about yourself. You don't need to worry about yourself. You worry about the team. And if you have an issue, you deal with it internally.
Yeah, that internal thing is key, and it doesn't seem to be the way things get done these days. With players and their regular Twitter activity, most laundry seems much more public than it used to, which is weird. I do, of course, feel... I'm very nervous going into the Super Bowl. I think that the Packers, regardless of their off-field, BS, TMZ kind of stuff, they're a very, very good football team, and they seem to match up with the Steelers in pretty much every category very, very well, and they deserve to be there. They, of course, also played a really crappy second half in the NFC Championship game against the pretty woeful Chicago Bears and their third-string quarterback. They almost stole that game from Green Bay, and I look to that as a sense of inspiration, if you will. I know the Packers are favored by 2.5 or 3 points at this point, which I think is good. I'd rather go in as underdogs, but you can't take anything away from Green Bay. They're a really good team, and it's going to be a hell of a game either way. They like I said, match up with us really, really well. Certainly, I think they're the best of the last three Super Bowl opponents that the Steelers have had: the Seahawks, Cardinals, and the Packers. What are your thoughts on how things are going to match up? Just quickly, we're going to do a bigger Super Bowl prediction show later in the week, but can you give us a teaser?
Well, from a higher level, Adam, I would say that I would be nervous about a game if you told me that you weren't nervous going into it. So the fact that you're nervous, I think, is natural. It's normal. The Packers, yeah, they are a very good team. I it would be an interesting conversation to have whether or not they were better than Seattle back in 2006, but I think, to be honest, they're a one-dimensional team. I think the Steelers fare very well against one-dimensional teams. I don't see Green Bay being a multifaceted offensive team. I think Pittsburgh can shut that down, and they can do, you know, what they do to a lot of teams that are like that. Sometimes they get beat, but I don't see that Aaron Rodgers, despite being a media favorite now, I don't see him being good enough of a quarterback to go in and pick that defense apart. And contrary to what everybody says, a lot does change in a year. He's not facing the same defense that he shredded last year, nor is Roethlisberger facing the same defense that he shredded last year. So all in all, I would, you know, I'm going to guess both teams are going to be confident with their chances, but, you know, I'm out.
I can attest to that, at least with the fan bases. You know, we Neil and I live in Minnesota, for those of you who don't know, and we're right on the border of the Packer Nation, if you will. It's definitely not that, but there's a lot of Packer fandom here in the Twin Cities, and they're all pretty confident and excited. I, for one, have to say that, you know, I only have one favorite team. My second favorite NFL team is the Steelers' second string. I hold no love for any other NFL team, but I will say that I've always said that the Packers are a team and a fan base that I respect. It's a team owned by the city and by the fans. They're in the smallest market in pro sports, and yet they're as rampant as any Steeler fan. So I give them credit for that, but I certainly hope that they don't come out winners, because I would never hear the end of it. But Neil,
I disagree with all that except for that I hope they don't come out as winners.
Okay. Well, real quick, the Marquise Pouncey thing has been keeping me up at night. Is how impactful is not having him likely to be? And I'm assuming he's not going to play with a high ankle sprain. I don't care how optimistic or hopeful people are. I just don't think that's an injury you can overcome in 2 weeks. Having had several myself and not being a professional athlete, I can tell you they suck. But this is the same injury that basically derailed Kendrell Bell's career. So what's up for young Marquise?
Yeah, high ankle sprains are real tough to come back from, but I think what's going to be even more problematic for him is the fact that he broke his ankle. I mean, watch the replay. I mean, you can almost see it. I think they're being coy about it. They don't want to tip their hand too early. They don't want to give Green Bay too much to prepare for, but it's pretty obvious that the ankle, and he's not going to play in the game. It really does bring up now perhaps their most shallow position on the entire team, their center. Pouncey obviously has done a great job for him. Doug Ligurski has not. In the time that he's been in there, whether he's been at center or guard or any other position except for fullback, he has not been adequate. And going up against a big physical all-around kind of guy like B.J. Raji of the Packers, he's in for a game. He's going to have to work real hard this coming week to get ready, and that should definitely be a concern for the Steelers. I don't think that they're going to have the ability now to run the ball as well as they've been able to at times this year, and that changes Pittsburgh's offensive game plan a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does, although I don't necessarily share your complete hatred of Ligurski. I mean, he's been thrown into the mix at every position on the offensive line, and at least this time he's had 2 weeks to prepare, so who knows? But we'll get more in depth with all of that in a few days in Episode 7 of Terrible Towel Talk. We will also, in Episode 7, cover some trivia for those of you who are listening as members of the Steeler Fans of Minnesota. So look for that. I think for now we've given you enough to digest for a few days. So let's just go ahead and sign off for now. Everybody rest up, eat good food, because in a week's time, it all comes down. I'm really, really excited, so we'll just say goodbye. For Terrible Towel Talk, I screwed up our name. I love it. This is Adam.
This is Neil.
And we just both want to say, go Steelers. Thanks for listening.